Magandang araw, Podmates! Howie Severino muli na nagpapaalala na nakakatalino ang mahabang attention span. Kasagsagan na ng summer at marami sa atin ang babiyahe at magiging turista sa sariling bansa. Paano ba maging mabuting turista? Ano ba ang batayan para maging eco-friendly ang isang lugar o resort? Ano ba talagang naging problema sa Chocolate Hills sa Bohol? Susubukan nating sagutin ang mga tanong na yan at iba pa. Panuuhin natin ngayon si Chen Mencias, environmental planner at tourism expert at advisor sa mga local governments at advocate ng sustainable tourism. Magandang araw sa iyo, Chen Mencias.
Magandang umaga, Howie. Salamat sa pag-imbita mo sa akin.
Anong take mo sa controversy ukol sa Captain's Peak Resort sa Chocolate Hills, yung nasa balita?
1988, unang declaration yan as a National Geological Monument. Diba? So mahalaga, nirecognize na as early as then. And then yung 1997, dineclare 1,776 hills as Chocolate Hills National Monument. Diba? It's an expression of how valuable the landscape is, no? Because it's very unique. However, noong 2003, inamend yung batas. Inilabas yung mga flat portions at AND in between the hills dun sa protected area. Eh kasi may mga titulo na yan, AND yan eh, di ba? Pero pwede namang hindi eh.
Yung AND, that might not be clear to others. That's alienable and disposable, or that's in other words, that's private land, no?
Yan yung pwedeng titulohan na.
Oh, pwedeng may titulo, which could be agricultural, it could be for
commercial,
residential, it could be commercial, no?
I think that's the root cause of the problem eh. Kahit nasabihin mo nang nilabas mo yan, dapat meron pa rin strict guidelines. Kasi you're not just walking the hills, you know, from below, from within the sa ground level. You're viewing it, di ba? From the top, as in it's a view. So anything that you put in there will decrease the value as a landscape that you view from afar. Diba? Like kunwari Batanes, it's the only province na yung buong probinsya, anim na munisipyo, lahat ng kasulok-sulukan niya is a protected area. And yet, may mga AND naman doon, may mga tituladong lupa. Bakit na ikapasok lahat yun? Ba't ito hindi? Mas grabe pa nga yung destruction nito eh, pag ganyan ang setup mo. Kasi, kumbaga, meron kang labyrinth. Within the landscape, may labyrinth ka ng mga AND na bahala sila kung anong gawin nila dyan, kung anong kulay ilagay nila dyan, hindi mo binigyan ng guidelines. Compared to a landscape protected area na nilagyan mo lang ng isang kalya sa gitna, mapafragment talaga yan. Saka ang lalapit ng mga hills eh, so ang kitid na lang talaga yung 20 meters sa baseline, halos kakainin na yung properties na yan eh. So dapat pinag-isipan ng husto kasi meron namang batas ng DNR, yung DAO 2013-19, that provides guidelines, no, for ecotourism development. Pwede naman a resort can align itself in along ecotourism principles. Yung kunyari yung kulay, hindi ganyan na parang piyesta ang kulay na masakit sa mata, di ba? You have greenery and then all of a sudden may pula ka dyan, may blue ka dyan, may whatever, dilaw. Meron tayong DAO 2009-09 which provides guidelines on the structures, the colors, the size. Nandiyan anong lahat. Bakit hindi in-impose yun? Sana in-impose na lang yun. Tinuruan yung private sector. Kasi yung private sector hindi mo rin masisi kasi yun lang ang exposure nila. Ganun yung development na alam nila. So it's the government's task to give them guidelines and give them direction on how they are going to develop their property. Hindi yung bahala kayo, di ba? Paano pumasa? Yan ang tanong ng tao. Paano pumasa yan? Nabigyan ng permit. Mm-hmm. Diba?
Okay, Chen. Gusto ko lang talakayan itong ilang issues na nabanggit mo ukol dyan sa resort sa Chocolate Hills. Because, sa Bohol, no? Kasi they're relevant to a lot of other places in the Philippines. Tulad na nabanggit mo rin sa Batanes. Kasi marami na tayong protected areas, no? But so, ang tanong ko lang dyan is, realistic ba na hindi kilalanin yung rights ng mga nandun na, yung mga landowners, yung mga may-ari ng property na nandun na, no, nung dineklara yan, no? And then yung number two, yung issue nga na kung papayagan nga mag-develop ng mga resort, dapat sumunod doon sa mga guidelines. No? So those are two separate issues. One is, I guess, is because that applies to many other places, marami tayong protected areas. Halos lahat ng protected areas natin, may mga inhabitants na, no? Na may mga iba't ibang rights o tenurial rights doon sa mga doon sa lugar nila, no? So it's really a matter of fairness as well, no? Nakilalanin mo yung mga rights ng mga taong nandoon na, no? Doon sa in particular Bohol. So I guess the first question is, would it have been realistic not to allow private land ownership in the Chocolate Hills, in between the hills themselves, yung sa mga flat areas?
We have to recognize those rights kasi by law, di ba? Eh, hindi na titulado naman, so they have the right. But kailangan bigyan ng direksyon. Now, kung labas sa management ng DNR yung mga private lands, it's not the responsibility of providing those guidelines will now rest on the local government. Di ba? Kasi dun sa batas nakalagay naman dyan na i-integrate nila sa CLUP nila. So, meaning the CLUP will now recognize it as a special use AND property because it's within the protected area. It's woven eh. Woven sa landscape eh.
So, itong sinasabi mong CLUP,
Comprehensive Land Use Plan.
Dapat lahat ng local governments may plan na ganyan, na comprehensive.
Or required by law yan. So it's now the LGU that has to put up those guidelines. And pwede naman nila i-adapt yung guidelines ng DAO 2009-09 para hindi na sila maglabas ng sarili nila. Pwede naman yun eh. And then monitoring kasi dumadaan sa permitting process, di ba? So dapat walang lusot. Hindi pwedeng may nauna, merong susunod, tapos merong sumusunod, merong hindi. Pangit yun. Mababatikos lang ang local government, even the national government, no? So ito, yung remedy siguro dyan is palitan niya yung kulay niya. Tingnan nila how we can adapt ourselves to the guidelines of an ecotourism site based on the law, di ba?
Just for context, Chen, no, sabi mo ibahin yung kulay. Just baka hindi maalala ng mga listeners natin kung ano yung kulay niya. So ano you mean kulay? yung chlorinated pool. Yun ba yung sinasabi mo?
Yun or hindi yung, na mapapalitan.
ano ba yung hindi magandang kulay doon?
Ah, hindi kasi may mga bright colors siya, di ba?
Festive,
yeah. Yun nga, eyesore because it's a landscape, di ba? Na greenery, di ba? So, sa doubt 2009-09 kasi ang kulay lang na accepted sa ecotourism sites are green, brown, yellow, and white. Yun lang. Even sa mga signages, even sa structures. Diba?
Nasa batas pala yung kulay na yan, no?
Oo, kasi it has to blend with the environment. Ngayon, issue yung swimming pool kasi talagang tingkad na tingkad yung blue, diba?
Yeah, kasi
in the first place, ang tanong ko doon is, dapat po talagang may swimming pool kasi nga protected area siya. So may issue ka dyan ng water usage. So meron bang pagsusuri regarding hydrology ng lugar? Is there enough water that they can get to put up so many swimming pools in that area? Kasi nagkaroon na ng isa eh. So syempre lalaban ng iba. Eh ba't pinayagan niya? Gusto rin namin mag-swimming pool. Mauubos yung tubig dyan, di ba? Kasi well, hindi naman siya yung parang forest na you know, nakaka-absorb ng maraming runoff kasi nga walang puno eh, damo eh, di ba?
Chen, sinasabi kasi ng may-ari ng resort na yon, no? Yung nag-violate daw ng mga environmental regulations. Na hindi lang naman daw sila, bakit, you know, parang sila yung pinag-iinitan, no? Are they being singled out? Not just there sa area na yon, no? But all over the Philippines, ang dami ng resort at developments na nagkaroon lang ng focus dito sa resort na yan, no? Or, I mean, is it fair na pinag-uusapan natin sila ngayon na sila lang or marami pang ibang resort na katulad nila?
It's reflective of yung ignorance ng mga taong involved about the value of a protected area. Kasi na-expose naman sila because of a blogger na nag-release tong video na akala niya it's helping the owner, no? Kasi ganyan sila, di ba, mga blogger. So they will blog about their experience. Kaso nga napansin eh, kasi nga umikot naging viral, di ba? Because it's Chocolate Hills. But they're not alone. I mean, I'm not just talking about Chocolate Hills. I'm talking about the entire country. If you travel around, madidismaya ka sa mga protected areas natin na napapabayaan yung ganyan, no? Kasi, well, meron din kasing ibang lito doon sa konsepto na until now, despite the law, eh, iba yung interpretation. Ganoon naman kasi ang batas eh. Iba-ibang interpretation eh. So, kailangan ma-educate din yung mga local governments kasi sila, devolved na rin kasi ngayon some of the powers ng national. So, sila yung nandun on the ground. No? You need to have champions that will push for the law to be applied. Hindi lang siya law in paper. So, and also yung responsibility ng mga private sector, yung mga business owners natin, to educate themselves before they go into a business. Alamin nila yung restrictions. Alamin nila yung responsibility nila. Kasi, it's the messaging eh. Tapos ito namang mga bloggers din, ano din, di ba? They also need to educate themselves. Ano ba yung message na nilalabas ko? Kasi, very powerful yung sinasabi nila sa mga followers nila. So, lahat involved eh. Sa lahat tayo, kumbaga eh, guilty in some way sa kamalian, sa mga misconceptions at misinterpretation ng konsepto.
Okay, Chen, para sa mga nakikinig na mga landowners dyan sa Chocolate Hills, kasi marami nga sila, no? Kinilala yung rights nila, no? Pero iniisip nila ngayon, anong pwedeng gawin doon sa property nila, no? Hindi na profitable yung magsakaw, magtanim ng palay doon, tsaka maliit lang naman yung space nila, no? In business terms, it makes sense, no? To develop that their place for a business. So, what would be ideal there? Sabi mo nga, maybe not a chlorinated pool, but maybe a natural pool. Sabi mo nga na with colors that will blend with the earth. Sabi mo nga pwedeng green, brown, yellow. Ano pa ba yung isang kulay?
White.
But ideally, what would be a good model for Chocolate Hills, for let's say that kind of space in between the hills, no? Kasi there are other developments I've seen na may mga walkway going up to a viewpoint, may mga platform for viewing, you know, the scenery on some of the hills. Yun pwede yun.
Sa atin kasi, no, compared to other countries, no, and I've noticed this also sa cave systems natin na pinubuksan sa turista. Allergic ang civil society sa infrastructure. Maglagay ka lang ng konting hagdan dyan sa cave. You know, magre-react na yung tao. Kasira yan. Kasi may mga purist tayo eh, na ayaw nila talaga no touch. Eh, pinabayaan na yung turistang pumasok eh. Pag hindi mo nilagyan ng infrastructure, kung saan-saan lalakad yan. Parang trail development sa bundok, papuntang waterfalls. Pag hindi mo dinevelop yung trail, gagawa sila ng sariling trail. Parang sa nung ginawa namin yung plano ng Mount Apo, naku, sanga-sanga yung mga trail kasi nga hindi developed. So, we need to understand that infrastructure can actually help protect the resources. But it has to be designed well na nagbe-blend naman siya sa environment. Like if you go to, kunyari sa Malaysia, sa Kota Kinabalu, di ba? Ang ganda ng trail development, hindi siya nakakasira sa environment. Brown lang ang kulay ng mga steps, mga bato, gano'n, no? Ang ganda-ganda. Even sa developed countries, gano'n sila mag-develop ng mga tourism sites. Why can't we do it here? Kasi, lito tayo. Kanya-kanyang interpretation. Minsan, political color pa yung gagawin. Di ba? Parang mali yun eh. We have to follow what is nice naman, no, based on yung acceptable internationally, sundan na natin, di ba? Hindi yung para tayong napakabakya eh, di ba? But I'm thinking ko, if I was from the local government, I'll call a meeting of all these landowners with DNR present. And then, you know, have a meeting of the minds. Anong gagawin natin dito? And we're getting a lot of flack already. Andiyan na yung swimming pool. Baka naman pwede ma-convert dun sa sinasabi mo ngayon, parang swimming pool nyo dun sa Taal na napakaganda na natural pool, no? May mga halaman. And it's going to be the talk of the town pa if we do that, di ba? Para siyang natural pond. Kahit makita mo from afar yung landscape, uy, ang ganda nun na pond na ganun, di ba? Natural color lang yung mga buildings, yung mga structures, di ba? So nagagawa yan sa Europe, di ba? Tawag dyan roofscape, the same color lang, hindi kanya-kanyang kulay. Ganun ang gawin natin. Let's set a standard of the roofscape of structures that are built in landscapes na binuview from afar. Kasi nga, nakakasira talaga. Nasa batas pala yan, ha, that you cannot do anything, any activity that will destroy the value of the landscape.
Yeah, pero that's subjective, di ba? I mean, ano ba yung nakakasira ng landscape or yung view, di ba? Kasi para sa iba, nakakaganda nga ng view yung swimming pool, di ba? Para sa iba,
that, kanya-kanya interpretation ng batas talaga. Pero alam mo, I'm not a lawyer, pero I'm thinking ko lang based sa trabaho ko ngayon, di ba? Kasi may environmental education nga dapat eh. Kung may awareness ang mga tao, hindi natin kailangan ng batas. Diba? Kasi may design concept tayo, nagbe-benchmark tayo sa iba, and this is what is proper or appropriate for the environment. Pero kung bakya yung exposure natin, sisirain natin ng ganyan, diba? Eh, you need the law, diba? Set the guidelines, penalize pag di ka sumunod sa batas. We need to educate ourselves what is proper for a protected area. Diba? At biglang napalisod mo yung batas. Ay, oo nga, sige, gagawin ko ito. Mag-research ako, anong magandang design?
Oo. Chen, well, before we leave the issue of this Chocolate Hills Resort, no, what you just said kind of reminds me of what I was thinking about in terms of how the public is divided now, no? Kasi itong sinasabi mong travel vlogger, si Ren, the adventurer, yung nag-post ng drone video, no? That he was actually very positive about it, no? Parang pinopromote niya halos yung resort na yan na maganda, na ang may mga magandang facilities, etc. Pero doon nga nag-react, no, with outrage yung maraming nakakita, no? So but you know, for people like Ren and there are many people like him, no, maganda yon. And it was worth like promoting, it was worth sharing. Pero yun na nga, no, naunahan itong mga, I would say, I don't know, I don't want to call them just the more enlightened crowd, no, but maybe people who sinasabi mo nga, or might be more purists, no, who don't want a swimming pool in the middle of a protected area or a natural geological formation, no. So itong sinasabi mong environmental education, we're seeing that now, and it's kind of dividing opinion about these kinds of developments, no? So, Chen, madalas natin marinig yung ecotourism at eco-friendly. Ano bang take mo dyan sa mga konsepto na yan? At saka, ano yung understanding mo sa kanila?
Yung ecotourism for many years, no? Siguro starting in the 90s or even 80s, was misunderstood and misinterpreted, grossly misinterpreted. I mean, meron ka lang beach, ililabel ng ecotourism site. It's not enough. However, the good news is that in 2013, the national government adopted a definition that is in the context of the Philippine development. Kasi there's no one single definition for the entire world, no? Kasi iba-iba yung konteksto. So sa atin, there are certain elements that has to be in place para matawag mong ecotourism site yung isang destination. First is it has to be within a natural and cultural area. Ibig sabihin, may tao. Kasi you don't necessarily have to have a Spanish lighthouse to call it a cultural site, ba? Or an old church. Importante kasi yung presence ng tao. Kasi in other countries, especially sa developed countries, may mga protected areas sila pero walang nakatira dun eh. Kaya nilang i-relocate ang mga tao para hindi nasisira. Pero sa atin hindi, may mga nakatira. And the people living in these outstanding places, protected areas, are the poorest of the poor. Kasi there are restrictions on how you are going to use the resources. So, mahirap sila, no? So, how do you solve that? There's like, problem there, no? Kasi nag-i-illegal sila because they don't have the resort, the money to feed themselves. So, ecotourism is the answer, actually. So, nung nagkaroon ng definition in 2013, it included that. It has to be in a natural and, not or, ha? And cultural area. So, ibig sabihin, you have ecosystems, forests, mangroves, riverine ecosystem, lakes, you know, or coral reefs, no? So, second, there has to be a community present there who are willing to be partners with government. Kasi we have to admit, no, na we have so many protected areas, pero hindi naman kayang bantayan niya ng government, even local government. They don't have enough people, rangers, you know, bantay dagat. Wala tayong pang sweldo sa mga yan. So, what the strategy involves the participation of the people living in those destinations, those ecotourism sites. Sila mismo yung magbabantay. Pero yung isang realization is that hindi mo pwede silang i-obliga. Kasi isang kahisanto ka sila. Araw-araw, wala silang sweldo. No? Hindi pwedeng sabihin mo lang, konsensyahin mo lang. Pag hindi natin inalagaan to, wala kayong future. No, hindi eh. You have to replace that. Yung need nila for everyday existence, no? Yung survival. So ecotourism is the answer because it involves the establishment of micro-enterprises. Sila yung magbibigay ng serbisyo sa mga papasok doon to enjoy the natural and cultural environment. And then there also has to be environmental education and ethics. So ibig sabihin, yung pinagkaiba dun sa mga urban destinations na wala ka namang masyadong environmental education dun because it's already a built, you know, destination. But in nature, there's so many things that people can learn, especially yung hindi ka talaga exposed sa ecosystem or sa ecology. Alam mo yun, pinag-aralan natin nung high school pero nakalimutan na natin yung significance of the water cycle, bakit hindi natin pwedeng tapunan ng plastic yung sa ilog sa bundok kasi eventually dadating sa dagat. You know, those simple stories that can change people's perspective when they come out of an ecotourism experience, no? And then there has to be benefit, naka-specify dun sa definition, there has to be economic benefit to the community that will be involved. So, and then you have interesting experiences for the satisfaction of the visitor. So that's the definition of ecotourism. And it's swak na swak siya talaga as a strategy for strengthening protection of natural and outstanding locations.
Okay, Chen, I want to take off on your definition, no? And recall yung ating expedition. We were together in the Panan Wilderness about mga 10 to 15 years ago. No, I'm sure you remember this well. We were together with your husband, Louie, and I was with my family. We went to the Palanan Wilderness, which is on the Pacific side of Northeast Luzon, no? Sa Isabela Province. If you remember, may mga lowland forest pa doon, ancient forest, even beach forest. Halos walang tao. Pero dahil walang community sa malaking bahagi, or there was no visible community doon sa malaking bahagi ng Palanan Wilderness, hindi natin maaring sabihin na ecotourism site yon dahil walang community at alam natin na it's now a protected area, no? Pero it doesn't seem to meet some of those criteria that you described, no? So ang isang lugar na ganun, and I know there aren't too many in the Philippines na wala ka masyadong makitang tao, no? There might be places in southern Palawan maybe or some islands, pero yung mga lugar na ganun would not fit your definition, yung mga ganung klaseng lugar na wala masyadong taong makikita?
Well, if you do enough research on the site, it's a protected area. It's a part of the Northern Sierra Madre Natural Park. There are communities. Kaya lang, you have to look for them and you have to organize them. Hindi pwedeng kung sino lang madatnan mo. No? That's now how it works. The local government's role in terms of finding these communities, this group of people, whether it's their IPs or migrants, you know, is very crucial. Kasi, like ako, hindi naman ako laging nandun, di ba? Even if I get involved in the project. So they have to be organized and they have to be willing to participate in providing services. Pero kung wala kang ganun, better na wag mo muna papasukan. Kasi masisira talaga yan eh. In general behavior ng mga Pilipino, kung makakalusot ba yung mga unethical and, you know, unsustainable practices, basta walang sumisita, gagawin nila yun eh, di ba? Magsunog sila dyan sa gubat. Kaya nasusunog gubat natin because of that kasi naiiwan yung mga embers, di ba? So, pero kung may guide ka, I mean, they know what the rules are. They know what practices should be done. They could tell or remind the visitors, oh, please lang po yung garbage in, garbage out tayo. Hindi tayo pwede mag-bonfire, etc. Di ba? Ang Pilipino kailangan pang mabantayan eh. Hindi kagaya sa developed countries, develop na talaga yung ethic of traveling responsibly. Sa atin, hindi pa eh. Kailangan pang bantayan. So, yung mga lugar na ganyan, sabi mo nga, iilan na lang yan. Ibahan ko muna natin. Huwag muna natin ilabas lahat. ang nakakatakot ngayon, ang daming naglalabas ng mga video sa TikTok, yun know, may mga reels sila about places na ganyan, na pristine, na wala pang ginagawa ang gobyerno, wala pang organized groups, pero napapasok na ng mga turista, nauunahan. So, yun ang pinagkaiba natin many years ago, di ba? Hawi, pag nagsusulat ka sa dyaryo noon. Pag nagsulat ka, dun lang malalaman ng tao na may ganyan palang lugar. Ngayon, real time, basta may signal, may Starlink ka dyan, nakalabas na agad yung videos eh. So, it's very dangerous. That's why yung challenge sa local government is to start planning. Huwag maghintay na may turista bago magplano kasi nauunahan. So, gano'n, no? I-preserve muna natin yung mga hindi pa natin na nahahanda. Huwag muna natin buksan sa turista yung mga ganyang pristine places. I-reserva muna natin for future development.
So, ang minumungkahin mo sa mga biyahero na nakakapunta sa mga pristine places na ganyan, no? Na wala pang tourism facilities masyado, hindi pa masyado napupuntahan, ay wag masyadong i-expose o wag mag-post ng reels o videos sa mga social media platforms muna bago magkaroon ng mga safeguards, plans ng local governments. Wag munang ilalabas. Sabi mo nga, ibangko muna natin. Isikreto muna ng mga nakakadiskubre.
Yeah, pero alam mo, ang hirap pigilan yan eh. Kasi kanya-kanyang decision na yan eh. So, if you notice yun sa Sierra Madre natin, even if we post a picture, we don't say where it is, no? Kasi ayaw natin, next time bumalik tayo, ay iba na, malulungkot na tayo, di ba? So, that's the usual trend. Nag-change talaga yung lugar once pumasok na yung mga turista. As in talagang kawawa yung mga locals. Kawawa yung local government na haharap dun sa problema kasi sila yung may iwanan ng problema. So, we have to be very progressive and not reactive to tourism. We have to prepare ourselves. Parang hinahanda mo yung bahay mo, hindi mo bubuksan biglang pintuan mo sa bisita mo eh. Nang hindi ka naglilinis, hindi mo inayos yung banyo mo, may uupuan sila, di ba? May kakainin sila. Ganun din, kasi madidismay ang turista, no? Bad mouth lang tayo. Tapos sisirain lang nila yung mga natural environment natin. Think about it, no? Itong kalikasan natin took millions of years to be created by nature, by God, no? Whatever your belief is, di ba? Tapos sisirain natin ng 15-20 years. Parang in our lifetime, sisirain natin. Parang kasalanan yun eh. So I think, I was hoping nung 2 years na natili tayo sa bahay na magkaroon ng reflection ang mga tao. Kaya lang yung ginamit yung term na revenge travel, parang negative ang epekto eh.
Parang ganti, no?
Oo, di ba? Parang hindi maganda. Sana prepare natin during the pandemic yung psyche ng mga tao na pag lumabas na tayo, pwede na tayong magbiyahe. Ito ngayon ang ating pag-uugali. Kaso ganun pa din. Alam mo ba anong cause niyan? Awi, sasabihin ko sa iyo ah. Kasi ang sukat lang natin sa industriya natin ay dami ng tao. So kung ganun ang batayan ng success ng isang destination, gagawin lahat eh to promote the place. Magsusponsor ang local government ng mga bloggers na maglalabas, magpo-promote. Kasi yan naman ang leverage nila. Po-promote ko po kayo. The more tourists there are, the better. That's the belief until now, which is very sad. It has to change. We have to impose carrying capacities. You know, in Batanes, when I was being considered to be their consultant, sinabi ko sa kanila, napaka-fragile ng Batanes, lalo na yung culture ninyo, di ba? And you don't want to change that. Sabi nyo, mahalaga sa inyo yung mga old houses ninyo. Pero kailangan hindi nyo maging mission na papuntahin lahat ng tao sa mundo. Even lahat ng Pilipino sa probinsya nyo. Kailangan pag-ipunan nila ang Batanes. High value, low volume. That's the trick. Magalit na magalit yung hindi maka-afford. Pag-ipunan ninyo, kasi ganun din naman ang gagawin mo. If you want to travel to Machu Picchu, you want to go to Paris, you want to go to Venice, pag-iipunan mo. Pero kung cheap ang destination, yung mura, 10 piso lang, makakakita ka na ng magandang waterfalls, ay nakukukunin mo sa dami para maging economically viable, para ma-recover mo yung in-invest mo. So ganun kasi, it has to really change. That's the root cause of the damage that's being done to our destinations that are very valuable to us.
I want to ask you now, Chen, no, about the most popular tourist destination in the country. Siguro, no, up to now, no, yung Boracay, no? Kasi if you go to other beach destinations now that are not that are still not as big or popular. Halimbawa, La Union, yung LU, or Siargao, which is becoming more popular now, no? And places in Palawan. Sometimes you hear from, you know, resort owners or people in tourism industry, we don't want to be like Boracay. You know, parang for them, Boracay is seen as a bad example, no? But Boracay is very profitable, no? Pinopromote siya ng gobyerno, and they get so many tourists, you know, millions of tourists, no? Over the years, no? And then pag sinabi mong beaches sa Pilipinas, Boracay madalas ang una mong maiisip. It's named one of the best beaches in the world. But what is wrong with Boracay, if anything, Chen?
Many things. Hindi sapat yung oras mo, how we talk about that. But what I'm saying is that it's a good example of a bad example. Kasi napabayaan, and yung closure cost the government so much money that could have been spent in better destinations. But, you know, nagkaroon ng maraming focus on that, on Boracay, and the government's also claiming na sustainable na siya, which I beg to disagree. Kasi binabaha pa rin naman sila. No matter how much funds you put in to rehabilitate a place, you cannot bring it back to its original state. It's impossible. So the best way talaga for local governments to go about this is huwag niyong pabayaan. Ibig sabihin, magplano kayo habang wala pa kayong turista. Kasi pag may dagsana ng turista, nakafocus na lang tayo sa economic gain. Yun yung trap ng ano eh, ng Boracay eh. Focus kasi sa economic gain and not looking at the impact on the environment, the social fabric, crime rates. Maraming indicators na kailangan pansinin din. Mo parang sakit sa katawan yan eh, nilalagnat ka, pero kinokorek mo lang yung lagnat, pero yung root cause ng lagnat hindi mo inaalam. And then eventually, mamatay ka na isang araw. Ganon ang Boracay, namatay na lang isang araw. Namamatay na siya. Kung makakapagsalita lang yung isla noon before the closure, nagmura na yan eh. Kaya lang hindi pinapansin. Marami siyang indicator na nilalabas pero hindi pinapansin. Kasi nga nabulag na lang sa pera ang mga negosyante at mga turista. So I don't call that thriving industry at all.
So nung panahon kasi ng Administrasyong Duterte nga, nabanggit mo na ipinasara yung buong isla. No? There was a long closure. It was actually very controversial. Ang daming resort owners, people in the tourism industry na nagreklamo. But now, in retrospect, do you think that was a good decision?
They had no choice at that time because it was getting a lot of attention, di ba, the situation, and people were actually agreeing that it's already worst, the situation. And in fact, if you read sa mga newspapers, I mean, sa mga news, no, there were other, like, 6 or 7 other destinations after Boracay that the government was wanted to close. There's Panglao, there's Coron, you know, there's El Nido, you know, mga yan, Puerto Galera. Hindi na nila sinara because, you know, the national government spent billions in Boracay. You cannot afford to keep closing destinations na ganyan ang nangyayari. No? So, in fact, ang nangyari nga noon, I was hired by Panglao eh, kasi sila na yung susunod na isasara. And they cannot afford.
Panglao,
kasi,
sa Bohol din yun.
Panglao is a municipality, samantalang El Nido is only an island, ah. So ang daming apektado doon, di ba? Including the locals, kasi 100% shifts na sila sa tourism, which is again a bad decision by the local government. Huwag kayong mag-shift 100% sa tourism because it's a very elastic industry that's affected. It's very sensitive to changes. Tinta mo, nag-pandemic, patay lahat ng mga destinations natin, apektado lahat, no? So, yun sa Panglao, ang hirap pagplanuhan kasi realignment yung ginawa namin. Ang hirap mag-realign, no? So, even if I come up with a good plan for them, which is again in consultation with them, with the local government stakeholders, eh, nagpalit na naman ng guards, no? Ibig sabihin, iba na naman yung mga decision makers and heading the government. So, hindi ko alam kung ilalakad nila yung plano na yan kasi nawala na yung init ng national government sa kanila. Kasi ang laki ng binasa Boracay. So, baka balik na naman sila sa dati, di ba? So, ang sinasabi ko, you need to have leaders who are serious about, you know, following the sustainable path. And right from the very beginning, magplano na. Hindi yung kung kailan may kasiraan saka magpaplano. That's not planning anymore. That's correcting. That's rehabilitation. Mas expensive mag-rehabilitate kesa magplano. And then you prevent things from happening. And then people are aware. So gising sila, hindi sila bulag sa pera. Once bulag sa pera, naku, ang hirap-hirap na i-change talaga ang mindset ng tao towards sustainable industry.
Well, ang yung isang nangyari sa Boracay, no? It's a very small island, but they have some big hotels, some big resorts, no? Yan ba yung kailangan iwasan? So in a place like that, na maliit lang yung area at saka very fragile yung ecosystem, dapat maliliit lang na establishment and smaller places?
Well, depende sa resources that are available, especially water. Hindi pwedeng unlimited number of buildings and unlimited height kasi syempre meron din restrictions yung soil natin, yung bottom composition, di ba? May mga restriction yan. And it's the local government that can impose that sa CLUP nila kasi pinag-aralan naman nila yung restrictions ng land area nila. No? So that has to be followed. A comprehensive land use plan, it's a matter of all plans ng local government. Nandyan okay. Nakalaga yung mga timberland, protected areas, agriculture, A&D, nandyan. So restricted talaga. Kaso minsan hindi rin nasusunod yan. Kasi iba yung nasa dokumento at isa yung actual use. Merong gap. No? So kung mapabaya ang local government, makikita mo talaga even yung mga hindi pa, agriculture pa lang. Diba? A&D na yung agriculture, pero allotted siya for food production, pero may mga resort na. Nagbenta na kasi yung mga may-ari. Kasi ayaw, inisip nila, instant millionaire ako pag binenta ko yung lupain ko, tatanim ako. Hindi na magtatanim, hindi na magpa-farming. Delikado po yan pag inubos natin yung agricultural land natin. Pero nasa zoning ordinance yan, ha? Hindi pwedeng mawala ng agricultural land. Pero yung actual use, hindi na. Kasi pabaya na yung local government. Nasilaw din sa pera.
Okay, so presumably lahat ng LGU. So kunyari, itong mga nakikinig sa atin ngayon, we're all residents under some LGU somewhere in the Philippines, right? Can we ask our local governments to see the plan? I mean, para makita natin kung sumusunod yung gobyerno o yung developers doon sa land use plan na yan, is that open to the public?
Yeah, of course. Kapartner niya na document is a zoning ordinance. That's more important especially if you're buying property. Tingnan mo muna kung yung binibili mong property is A&D na. Or ano ang zoning. Baka agriculture pa, hindi ka pwedeng magtayo dyan ng commercial. Diba? So part of the responsibility of a buyer of property and somebody who's thinking about going into the business is to follow the zoning of the land. So I was wondering, that's also one of my thoughts. Ano ba ang zoning ng local government dyan sa A&D property in between the hills? Ano ang zoning nila dyan, di ba? So kung zone na ba siya for tourism, in that case, kailangan din ng restrictions. Protected area kasi siya. So yung mga ganyan, no? Of course, minsan LGU lang nakakaalam eh. Di yan ang pinagbabasihan kasi ng mga permits. Oh. Yung zoning. Yeah.
Sabi mo nga, minsan hindi nga sinusunod yung plano. But, civil society or ordinary citizens can help make sure that their local governments follow the plan. Diba? Kasi presumably that has a technical, scientific a basis. No? So local government should be transparent about the CLUP. Is that on the internet, most of these plans?
Some of them are posted, including the zoning ordinance.
So pwedeng silipin sa, let's say, website ng isang LGU nandoon.
Yes, nasa website.
Makikita mo kung yung katabi mong property na dinidevelop, kung talagang pwede mag-develop doon ng kung ano-ano. Mm. No? Like a poultry. Kunyari, may magpagawa ng poultry sa tabi ng property. Yan. You can see kung pwede yun.
Babuyan, no? Sa tabi ng ilog, di ba?
Yeah, okay.
Pollutive industries.
Okay, I want to ask you now about marketing ng tourism. No? Kasi about a year ago, July 2023, naging controversial itong bagong tourism slogan ng national government, itong Love the Philippines. No? Of course, naging controversial yan for a couple of reasons. One is yung unang video nila ay may mga shots, may mga video clips na hindi pala Pilipinas, no? So ang daming nagalit na tao at kasama diyan yung mga ibang politiko natin. And then the slogan itself, no, love the Philippines. Parang some people are saying it's like a command, no? Para tayong insecure na pinipilit natin, nagdi-dictate tayo sa turista na mahalin tayo na para. And anyway, as a tourism planner, environmental planner, would you have advised that kind of slogan? Ano ba yung naging reaction mo nung una mong narinig yan?
My first thought is that, ba't pinalitan na naman? Kasi yun nga, yung laging sentiment ng madami, no? Those who can understand marketing. Dapat di ka papalit-palit ng brand.
Before that, it was, it's more fun in the Philippines.
Before that, wow, Philippines.
For years, it was that, no? Okay, and then pinalitan, naging love the Philippines. Kasi nagbago yung gobyerno, so they want to have their own branding.
Yun nga sakit natin eh. And you were wondering bakit kanina we were discussing before the show, bakit ang Malaysia is getting so much tourist, tayo hindi, whereas maganda rin naman tayo, no? It's because of the branding. Kailan ba nagpalit ang Malaysia, truly Asia? It's been their brand for years or decades, di ba? So, you know, retention is important eh. And then you deliver the essence of the brand. Tayo hindi eh. Iba-iba essence ng brand natin eh. Litong-litong turista sa atin eh. Dati, you know, wow, Philippines is more fun. Ngayon, love. No? Maganda naman yung word, di ba? Siyempre, love. It's like being care. Nandyan yung stewardship and care. But I think yung love is can also be focused on the Filipinos themselves. The local government, everyone that is responsible for taking care of destinations. Kung mahal talaga natin ang Pilipinas, gagawin natin yung mandate natin, gagawin natin yung responsibility natin na kahit tayo mismo nag-travel within our own country, naging turista tayo, hindi natin sisirain that we will minimize our impact. Diba? Eh, kaso ugali natin, kung makakalusot, palulusotin eh. Kung walang naninita, diba? Gagawin natin, tapon tayo ng basura kung saan. Makakadismaya. So I think that has to go beyond the brand, and the national government should really take the challenge of interpret natin yan sa baba. What is love of country, love of a destination, love of all these endowments na create ng kalikasan for millions of years? Ano ba yung love na yan? Landscapes and all that. It's not just about love of what you can see with your eyes, di ba? It's also love of, you know, yung intergenerational thinking mo, no? Mas malalim yun kesa sa, you know, ma-experience mo lang siya ng 1 or 2 days, no? Yung intergenerational thinking, that should be the essence of the brand. Para hindi natin sirain ng 15 years, lipat lang tayo sa susunod na destination, iwanan na natin yung LGU na rin their problem. I think it has to be interpreted in a deeper way.
Okay, let's end on a positive note, Chen, no? So, give us examples where we showed love for the Philippines in terms of tourism. Ano ba yung mga successful models natin? And talk to us about what you consider models of sustainable tourism, places that are ready to accept more travelers, places that are doing it right.
Yeah, one is in Sagay City. Where one of the biggest protected
areas. It's the Negros Island.
The northern part of the island of Negros. We did a master plan for them. And the nice thing is that they're really implementing strictly the plan and the business model. Community-based ang approach. So there's active participation of organized fisher folks, farmers, tricycle drivers, you know, people living along the coastal area. And then the academic institutions are also actively involved. You know, they're really following the principles of sustainable tourism and putting in place all the different elements. Kasi it takes time to implement a plan. It takes years. Kasi nga yung budget restriction natin, di ba? Hindi mo na agad maglalabas ng pera for that because the LGU has so many things to fund. But so far sila, they have this mangrove area, which is the habitat for flying foxes, and there's a community that will provide services to you. Yung Suyak Island. You can search that in the internet. Award-winning na rin sila. And
so yung attraction doon, what's the attraction doon? Ay mangrove?
Mangrove.
So they can hike through the mangrove?
May boardwalk. Meron silang sandbar, yung carbon reef, may coral reef, no?
May snorkeling doon?
Yeah. So and that whole the islands, the mangroves, the sandbar is part of what do you call this a bigger protected area, one of the biggest, no, Sagay Marine Reserve. So that's a strategy to engage the people to protect the marine reserve, hindi yung sila mismo yung nag-iilegal. So dun nag-work yung model namin, no, that you have tourism that provides an economic incentive for stronger protection. Kasi hindi kaya ng local government lang, no, they don't have enough people to patrol the area 24/7. So you provide livelihood, yun yung incentive nila, nakikita sila. Kasi kung ang basihan ng hanap buhay mo ay kalikasan, alagaan mo yan, di ba? Hindi mo yan puputulin, hindi mo yan kukunin, kasi bukas wala nang, wala ka ng hanap buhay pag wala na yung mangrove. So, abantayan mo yan, di ba?
So sa Sagay, may hotels?
Meron na. Kasi city naman sila eh. So yun nga, nakakatuwa, city sila, and yet they have one of the biggest protected marine protected.
So are you encouraging, halimbawa, yung mga ordinaryong tao na to accept, let's say, yung going Airbnb or B&B, yung kanilang bahay, parang, or homestay, di ba? Is that something that you would encourage communities to do, or kailangan talaga may kahit maliit na hotel, na air conditioned, na, you know, something that's really set up for tourists?
Yung homestay kasi parang stopgap lang yan eh, from my point of view. Usually sa mga very rustic, undeveloped destinations, yan yung unang ginagawa just so you can accommodate tourists, kasi kailangan nilang may matutulugan, di ba? Kasi may risk din yan eh. Especially if the guest will be sleeping inside the house within the, you know, the residence, and then gahalubilo sa mga anak, di ba? So iba-iba kasi yung ugali ng mga turista, and not all of them are good people, di ba? So magiging vulnerable yung mga homeowners pagka magpapasok ka lang na magpapasok ng kahit sinong tao. So stopgap lang yan. As much as possible, you need people to invest in lodging facilities na talagang may mga set of guidelines, tapos may reporting system, merong profiling system, getting information about the visitors. Para pag may mangyari, you know, madaling ma-address ng local government.
Okay, so that's Sagay. Any places you'd recommend in Luzon?
Yeah, Palawi Island. That was like my project for 8 years. Although hindi namin naabot yung kaduluduluhan ng modeling, no? But it has gone to leaps and bounds. Kasi ano na sila, three-time awardee na sila ng ASEAN Community-Based Tourism. So awardee na. So it's a validation.
Ano, Palawi Island?
In Santa Ana, Cagayan, nasa dulo ng Luzon.
Northern tip ng, yes. Luzon. Okay.
Yes. Andun yung last kilometer marker. It says 642 kilometers from Luneta. But it's really worth the trip kasi maganda naman yung road trip along the way. Road is really good all the way. And there are hotels. Kasi ano siya, economic.
What you get there, what can you do?
I can go hiking. They have hiking trails. You can go snorkeling. May marine protected area sila. And during summer, we can even go with the agtas living on the island when they collect honey from the forest, so you can see how they're doing it. No? And then you can go camping. If you don't want to stay in the hotel in the mainland, you can go camping. But it's nice to go hiking because it's 70% forest cover, by the way. And they have a Spanish lighthouse right at the northern part of the island. So it's a beautiful place. It's a protected.
Malapit sa dagat yung...
May beach forest pa sila.
So, bihira na ngayon sa Pilipinas, ha?
Oh, yeah. Actually, how we know, when I was given the task to handle that project, community-based tourism nga, I thought about branding the island Dream Island. Kasi, well, nung bata-bata ako, madalas naman ako mag-hiking, that umakyat ng bundok. Pero para makakita ka ng magandang lugar, magdurusa ka, di ba? Walang kubeta, mahirap matulog, walang hotel, walang mga ganon, di ba? Magka-camping ka lang, lalamukin ka and all that, no? Pero dito kasi, you can stay in an air-conditioned hotel, eat in a nice restaurant, and then, you know, 30 minutes or 20-30 minutes boat ride, you have a place that 70% forest cover. You can hike with guides, you can snorkel. Yung ganoon na hindi ka kailangang magdusa. But for those who wants nature, you can still stay, may homestay na din doon at meron ding campsite. Pero yung ibang medyo gusto ng comfort, you can stay in the mainland. Just spend the day on the island. Kaya nga Dream Island yung branding ng kasi it's
so isla siya. No, I've never been there, Jen. No, but is it larger than Boracay? Can it take a lot of travelers?
Smaller than Boracay yan. And there are only like 900 plus people living on the island. Kino-control na rin yung population nila kasi nga the more people there are, the greater the impact. But it's something to see.
Iniisip ko yung mga nakikinig sa'yo ngayon, baka biglang magpuntahan doon tapos limitado pala yung pwedeng magstay doon, no?
They will have to book in advance. You cannot just walk in.
Kontrolado din yung numbers na pupunta doon.
Search nila sa internet, no? Tapos nabablog na rin siya, popular na rin siya kasi towards the end of my engagement, nag-shoot ang Survivor ng 2 seasons doon. So kaya naging popular yung island, nakilala yung island. But prior to that, wala talaga nakakaalam. And that was intentional on our part because we just want to prepare the people, we want to prepare the island, train guides, introduce different enterprises para sila kikita. Kasi ganun ang sakit ng mga ibang destinations sa atin, iba yung kumikita, papasok ng turista, tapos, you know, nanonood lang yung mga locals, they don't know what the rules are.
So isa yan sa mga lugar na binangko mo muna, no? Habang yes. Pinaplano yung turismo. Parang naging laboratory mo.
That's true. Naging laboratory na yun for 8 years yun kasi dyan kami nag-test ng mga approaches and tools. Now we're replicating it, we're improving on the model. Hindi siya perfect, no? Meron din mga weaknesses until now kasi umalis nga ako, hindi namin natapos. Pero because of those learning na i-improve namin yung model, yung business model, ecotourism business model, that's what it's called.
Okay, my very last question, paano ba maging responsableng turista o biyahero?
Maraming paraan, no? Some of them can be as simple as understanding ano magiging impact mo when you go to a place, no? Well, number one, yung basura na ipapasok mo. Pangalawa, yung Trampling, yung pagtapak mo will create an impact eh. Kasi kung mag-hiking ka, kung bago sapatos mo at maputik yung daan, gagawa ka ng sarili mong daan, di ba? Tapak ka doon sa may damo-damo. That is creating an impact, di ba? So, ganun ang mangyayari. So, also, second, yung following the rules set by the local government or the community. One example, nudism. Wala namang Pilipino masyadong nag-engage dyan. Pero may nakita na rin ako na nag-vlog. Batanes pa. Kung saan, 99% yata ng tao are really Catholics, no? So, nag-post siya. At lahat na nakapunta sa Batanes, makikilala yung picture niya na hubot-hubad siya. Pero yung mga tao, hindi nila alam. Pero pinayagan ng guide. Bakit ganon? Kung ayaw ng lugar na maghubot-hubad dyan, narespetuhin mo.
Kailangan maging sensitive sa local culture. Yung unang binanggit mo, Chen, no, yung tungkol sa basura, that's a more common problem than nudity siguro, no? But kasi you know, maraming biyahero o turista, no, nagdadala ng baon na mga chichirya na naka-plastic, and of course maraming lugar, no, lalo na yung mga malalayo. Would you advise tourists not to bring plastic waste o yung mga baon na magiging plastic litter? Kasi yan madalas yung nakikita sa kahit sa loob ng mga marine wildlife. Pag binuksan mo yung mga tiyan na mga patay na wildlife, mga balena, madalas mo makakita ng plastic sa loob, no?
Isa yan sa in-address namin dun sa Ecotourism Philippines business model. When you have an organized group which will be the beneficiary of the enterprises, one of the groups that we form are people who can cook food, local caterers doon sa community. Para maiwasan yung pagpasok ng pagkain from outside. Kasi economic leakage din yan eh. Kasi na-realize namin, even if it's just a sitio, a barangay, not even a municipality, kino-compute ko yung potential income. And na-realize ko on all sites na ginawan ko ng projection, food is the number one or the highest source of income, food. So sabi ko, gawin natin na package, kasama na yung pagkain, yung local community ang magluluto. At makokontrol pa nila yung type ng pagkain na isisilbi sa turista na you're showcasing local cuisine, di ba? Or yung fresh catch of the day, etc. Or maybe locavore, no, within the barangay lang or local produce nila sa farm nila. So, makokontrol mo yung quality at type ng food plus yung production ng basura. So, there are sustainable practices that we have set about catering and food production para hindi sila makakreate ng masyadong impact sa isang ecotourism site, no?
Okay, that's wise advice, no? We want to thank you, Chen, no? For your time and especially for your service to communities that want to be tourist destinations. Maraming salamat, Chen Mincias, environmental planner and tourism expert. Mabuhay ka. Maraming yes. Salamat.
Thank you, Howie. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Howie Severino. Check out the Howie Severino podcast. New episodes will stream every Thursday. Listen for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other platforms.